begin now part 20 of our Tzilavad series, Be'ez Hashem. We will learn tonight the brachas of Hashiveinu Avinu L'Seir Asecha, and also the following bracha of Slach Lanu. The connection between the two is obvious. Be'ez Hashem, we'll try and explain them one by one. Having begun the Bekoshes, the first three brachas of the Shmoneh Esrei, the Shlach, and then we began last week the very first bracha of Chenein Hadas, and we explained that must be the first bakosha. It's the most important of all bakosha, is that a person has to have das. Life is all about taking decisions, making correct decisions, or bochart or bachayim, and in order to do so one needs das. That is the distinguishing feature between us and animals, without which there's absolutely no difference. Therefore that must be the first bracha of the bakoshas. The following bracha is Hashiveinu Avinu L'Seir Asecha. Why does that follow on from the bracha of Chenein Hadas? So the Gemara in Megillah asks the question, why is it that the bracha of Tshuva follows the bracha of Bina? And the Gemara quotes a pasuk. The pasuk in Yeshaya says, V'levavo Yovin, when his heart will understand, the next word, Vashov, and he will return. When the heart will understand, he will return. So you see the juxtapositioning between understanding, Bina, and Tshuva. As the Tor in Hilchas Tefillah writes, you see that Bina Mevia Lidei Tshuva. This is very much connected to what we spoke about. Those who join us on Thursday night for the Parashah Shir, we discussed this at great length last week, the union of Hisboinonus, stopping to think. Paroi and Bilom, as we discussed then, did not stop to think. If a person is not a Misboinon, he will never be Chayza B'tshuva. There's nothing wrong with the way he's running his life at the moment. He's quite happy doing as he pleases. Why on earth would he want to make a change? You ever only change anything if you've reached the conclusion that there's something wrong with the situation at the moment. You don't change your car unless there's a problem with the car at the moment. You don't move home unless there's a problem with it at the moment. But you will never arrive at that conclusion that there is indeed something the matter, something problematic, unless you are misbehaving. Therefore, necessarily, tshuva requires hisboinonus. If a person is a misboini, and from time to time he stops and he thinks, and he says to himself, is my avodas Hashem indeed the way it should be? Am I davening the way I should be davening? Am I learning the way and the amount that I should be learning? If a person is misboini, then indeed that will bring him to b'chayza b'tshuva. And that's why the bracha v'atachonein das, which is all about bina, is immediately followed by the bracha of tshuva. Interestingly, the Torah points out that there are 15 words, you can check in your Siddurim, there are 15 words in this bracha. And that number 15 corresponds to a very famous pasuk, which indeed talks about tshuva. The pasuk in Yeshaya says, Ya'azoiv rosha darkoi. The rosha abandons his ways, v'ish oven machshavoisov, and the iniquitous person abandons his evil machshavois, v'yoshoiv el Hashem, by returning to Hashem, etc., etc. If you look in that pasuk, there are 15 words altogether. So too in this particular bracha, which discusses tshuva, there are 15 words. Very important, I think, to note that in that pasuk it says Yazoiv Rosha Darkoi. The Rosha abandons his ways, which means tshuva is not merely about leaving Averis. Rather, it is about leaving the way of Averis. It is about recalculating one's route, taking a different derech in Avodas Hashem. It's not all about actions or inactions. Yazoiv Rosha Darakoi, a person changes his derech. So that's the inyan of, the general inyan of the bracha, which of course is tshuva. Now we mentioned right in the beginning of the bracha, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Seirosecha. We talk about being chayzer b'tshuva, and the first example we mention is the inyan of tshuva, of Torah. Now tshuva, the very word tshuva, is of course translated as returning. You can only return to something if you've been there once before. If you're visiting somewhere for the very first time, you cannot say that I'm returning there. If I've been there before, then my second visit is a return. So what does that mean, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Seirosecha? Return us to Torah. Who says I've been there first time round? So the Mefarshim explain, we've all been there first time round. Because the Gemara famously tells us that the unborn child in the womb of his mother is doing what? Learning Torah. With the Malach. The Malach teaches the child Kol HaTorah Kulo, and eventually when it enters Avir HaOilom, when the child enters the world, he forgets all the Torah. Such that whenever we learn Torah, we are always returning. We are restoring the Torah that we once had. There is no such thing as beginning, as it were, afresh in Torah. We are always returning. In fact, it has been pointed out that the Gemara famously tells us that when one toils in Torah, what does the Gemara tell us? Yogato umotsoso. If you toil, you will find. Now, you can only talk about a metzia. What does that mean, umotsoso? A metzia. You can only talk about a metzia which was owned previously. If something was owned by Reuven and it's dropped on the street and now you find it, it's a metzia. So too Torah is considered a metzia, meaning, not as we use it colloquially, oh, mamasha metzia, a bargain. Rather, a metzia, this was owned before. Who by? By me. Because we used to know Kol HaTorah Kulo, all of us, such that when we davened for Hatzlocha in Torah, specifically we are calling it Hashiveinu Avinu L'Seirosecha, restore us to the Torah that we once all had. We don't merely suffice with saying Hashiveinu L'Seirosecha, rather we add the word Hashiveinu Avinu L'Seirosecha. We refer specifically to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our Father, and this is extremely revealing. Imagine you have two friends. They might be best friends and have spent 50 years of companionship and friendship. But if they have a fallout, then they're no longer friends. And they may never speak to each other ever again. And indeed, they may not be friends again. So too, a husband and a wife, two partners in business, whatever it may be, that kesher is essentially breakable. But a father to a son is a non-breakable kesher. Even in the event that the child doesn't speak to the father for 50 years, for 80 years, but he still remains a son. You can't say that because he doesn't have a relationship, he's no longer considered a son. You are always a son. Our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is non-breakable, is that of a father and a son. Bonim atem lamokoim lashem. The kesher that we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the glue that, as it were, sticks us together, is the Torah. Torah tziva lanu Moshe Moirosha. What does Moirosha mean? To bequeath as an inheritance. An inheritance goes from father to son. The Avudram, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, illustrates this with a beautiful moshel in his Pirush to this very bracha. And he says, the Ben Melech, the son of the king, royal prince, was once captured, the Medina Sayom, in a foreign land, as a young child. He's no longer in the palace, he's detached, completely disconnected from his father. Says the Avudram in his moshel, if he wants to come back to the palace, even if it's many, many, many years later, he's not embarrassed to do so. He walks in unabashedly and he just strolls in the palace. Why? Because he says, Le Yerushasi Ani Choyza, I'm just coming home. This is my inheritance. All of this palace is going to be mine one day. Says the Abu Dram. So to a Talmud Chacham, even if for some reason he slackens his commitment to Torah and he involves himself in other things and detaches himself from a way of Torah, but whenever he wants to come back, essentially he's coming back home. I'm coming back to my Yerusha. I'm always connected to Torah, just like a son is always connected to his father. Says Abu Dram, Lekach Omar Ovinu. And that's why we say, Hashiveinu Ovinu L'Seiro Secho. The Torah is always there, is always my connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even if, sometimes in a moment of honesty, we might really appreciate that perhaps we don't learn the amount we should, or perhaps we don't learn the way we should, and it needs an improvement. But we need to realize that we have never essentially become detached. And when a person is mischazik in Torah, he is always coming home. He's coming home like a son to father, and that's why it's Hashiveinu Ovinu L'Seirosecha. The next part of the bracha doesn't talk about Torah, it talks about Avodah. V'korveinu Malkeinu L'Avodasecha. Now over here, we don't refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our father. How do we refer to him as? Malkeinu, as our king. Of course, it's very obvious. If we're talking about Avodah as an Eved has a master. An Eved's relationship with his boss is that of Eved to Melech. Very important to point out that the Abu Dram says, what does that mean, V'korveinu Malkeinu L'Avodah Secho? Literally translated, our king, can you draw us near to your Avodah? Says the Abu Dram, two words. Do you know what that means? Draw us near to your Avodah, Lehispalel Lefonecho. To be able to daven in front of you. Davening is always called Avodah. It's Avodah Shebelev. I.e., the Abu Dram is teaching us, and we actually made mention of this in our Tfilah of Adim early on in the series. We are davening in this Tfilah that we should be able to daven. Very, very important line. Perhaps we don't appreciate this enough. The Korveinu Malkeinu La'Avodah Secho, says the Abu Dram, means bring us close to our Avodah. Which part? Tfilah, because Tfilah is called Avodah. Now, what does that mean that we're davening to be able to daven? We're davening so that we should be able to daven. So one way of understanding it is, of course, just like we begin our Tfilah, Hashem Sfosai Tiftach Ufi Yagid Tirosecho. It's an overwhelming realization that we come and beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu of all of our bakashos. We need to have a zuchus to get in there, to be able to ask what we need. But in further explanation, and this is, like we said so often in this part of our series, we have to make our tefillahs very personal and very relevant and very meaningful. And that is, we're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Hatzlocha in davening. We've spent months now together discussing our struggles with tefillah. And after having all said and done, all our study of the hashkofas of tefillah and the practicalities of tefillah and the various eight faiths we discussed, but when all the dust settles, we all agree that ultimately we need help. We need siyata d'shmaya from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to daven. And that is a further meaning of these words, and we should think about it. The Korveinu Malkeinu L'Avodah Secho, bring us close, help us davening. Because davening is not an easy avodah. As we've discussed, it's difficult to concentrate, sometimes difficult to connect, so we need to ask, we need to daven to be able to daven. We discussed in great length that the whole purpose of davening is to forge a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As we've coined the phrase, tefillah is not a Coke machine. That's not the purpose of tefillah. tefillah is in order to bring us close to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. And those are exactly the words. V'korveinu malkeinu l'avodasecha. Bring us close by davening. Davening is the way we forge our connection with our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, in these two central pillars of our Avodas Hashem, number one, Torah, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Seiro Secho, and secondly, Tfilah, V'korveinu Malkeinu L'Avodas Secho. V'hachazireinu B'Shuva Shalema L'Fonecho, bring us back, Averois, distance a person from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bring us back, L'Fonecho, we should once again be in front of you, we should have that close connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we finish the bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem, Horeitze B'Shuva. These are such important words. These are such important words. What does that mean, Horeitze B'Shuva? The Yetzer Hara works overtime and convinces us, don't bother. Things are never going to change. You've been stuck in a rut for 20, 30, 40, 60 years. You've always davened like this. You've always learned like this. You've always done chesed. It can't change. It won't change. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has long given up on you. We say every day in davening, that's not true. Horeitze b'shuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to come back. The question we need to ask ourselves is, do we want to come back? But don't blame our lack of effort to be mishazik in Avodas Hashem on the fact that I'm sure HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer interested in me. He's long given up on me. No. Horeitze b'shuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to come back. Now, we should just say in conclusion about this bracha, there is a very important question that needs to be asked. I understand full well that we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for our health and for our wealth and for all of our other needs. Everything is min hashomayim. But there's one thing which is not min hashomayim. And what's that? As Chazal famously tell us, HaKoel bidei shomayim chutz miyirah shomayim. My own spiritual standing, that's not in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were. That's my own doing. My physical, my gashmi situation is completely dependent on the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So of course, I understand very well, I need to beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu for refuah, for parnasa, for all of my other tzrochim. But when it comes to the inyan of tshuva, I'm asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu what to learn Torah for me, to daven for me. That's within my grasp. Why am I asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this? And the answer is, it's true. The only person who can learn for you is you yourself. The only ones who can daven is us ourselves. What we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, ensure we have the siyata deshmaya for things not to take us away from Torah learning. To take us away from Hatzlacha in Tefillah. We're not asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to daven for us. We're not asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to learn for us. Like we say every single day of our lives, in Shema, we say, V'ahoyo in Shemaya. If you will only listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what would you be zeicha to? Rainfall, sustenance, parnasa. So the Rambam asked his famous question, don't we have a principle that there is no reward in this world? All of our reward is in the worlds to come. So what on earth does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide us with rainfall, parnasa? Isn't that reward? And it's very much in this world. So the Rambam answers, his famous answer, that is not reward. Rather, im shomoya tishma, if you listen to the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees how keen you are to be an Eved Hashem, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ensure that all of those things that take a person away from Avodas Hashem will indeed not bother you. So Parnasa will be taken care of, and you'll have rainfall, not as a reward. That's not the schar. the schar is indeed in the world to come. But if a person really wants to be an Eved Hashem, very difficult to do so if he's preoccupied with taking care of his parnasa. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I see that you're so determined to be an Eved Hashem, indeed I will provide you with rainfall, with parnasa, with tvua, not as schar. Schar is only in the world to come. And that's essentially what we're davening for in this bracha as well. We're not davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should learn or he should daven for us. Rather, all of those various factors that take us away from Torah study, that interrupt our concentration in tefillah, please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make those all disappear. Ultimately, I want to be a learner. I want to be a davener. But sometimes there are external factors that get in the way. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remove those, such that indeed we'll have Hatzlocha, both in our Limud Torah and also in our Avodas Hashem, and specifically the Avodah of Tefillah. We then move on to the obvious follow-up bracha, and that has to be Slach Lanu. A person is Chayza B'Tshuva, and then he is Zeicha to Slicha, as the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, the Yoshev El Hashem, one returns to Hashem, V'Yirachameu, he will have compassion on him, Ki Yarbe L'Sloyach, and he then will forgive him. We note in this bracha, Slach Lanu Avinu Kichotanu, Machalanu Malkeinu Kifoshanu. Once again, in the last bracha we also made mention of the fact that we have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Avinu and also as Malkeinu. So too over here, Slach Lanu Avinu and also Machalanu Malkeinu. And the reason why we do this is indeed as follows. Because every Aveira that is committed is essentially an affront on our dual relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu both as children and also as slaves. As we say, Im Kabonim, Im Ka'avodim. Firstly, he is our father. We have chiyuv of hakaras hatoiv to a father who's given us life and showers us with goodness. Bonim atem lashem, we say. Rachameinu kerachem av al bonim. If you ever look in the Chodesh Halvavos at great length in the Shaar Avodas Elohim, his theme in 100 pages of talking about Avodas Hashem, his theme is one. His theme is the way to be an Eved Hashem is to continuously be misbeinim how much chesed we are the recipients of from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more we appreciate and we think about and are aware of the goodness, the constant goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers upon us, the more that will generate a feeling that I must, as it were, respond to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Avodas Hashem. My father has been so good to me, and he's given me life and health and wealth, my house, my clothing, my parnasa, my family, that it's only right that I feel that I should offer something in return, my son, relationship to the father. Doing an Aveira is therefore a pegia in that relationship. But it also further blemishes my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a melech. I'm also an eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not only the son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech, and he has obligated us with keeping Torah u'mitzvahs. Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim. We are the slaves of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and by sinning we have rebelled. Therefore, that's why we must make mention of Slach Lanu Avinu Kichotonu and also Machal Lanu Malkeinu, both in capacity of father and as king. By doing aveiros, we have damaged both relationships, and therefore we need both to be forgiven. Many of the commentaries point out that we begin with the word slach, and then move on to mechal, atoning or forgiving, various different levels of atonement. Not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm prepared not to punish you, but it's actually more than that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will wipe the slate clean. That's the difference between slicha and mechila. It is very important, however, to point out that we must never make a mistake. When a person is chayzer b'tshuva, and we talk about slicha and mechila and kapara, that should never be translated or understood as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is prepared to overlook. Nothing is overlooked. In the words of Chazal tell us, it's a Gemara in Bava Kamma, if anybody says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a vatran, what does it mean, a vatran? To be mevater. To be mevater means to overlook. The Gemara says frightening things. If anybody ever says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu overlooks, then indeed his own life will be overlooked. What does that mean? What's the difference between HaKadosh Baruch Hu overlooking, ignoring as it were, as opposed to atoning or forgiving? So listen to the most magnificent moshel of the Dubna Magid. I think every moshel of the Dubna Magid is magnificent, but listen to this. The Dubna Magid was trying to illustrate the point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Mavata. And he said as follows. The poor man once was making a wedding, and he had no idea where he was going to begin funding this chasana. He certainly had no money to book a hall, the band, the flowers, the photography, the foods, the catering, the everything. So he begins a campaign, he runs around town and he finds there's some small shack somewhere, and he knocks on the door and says, would you mind just lending me for one night? Fine. He's managed to procure a chasana hall, a barn. He then finds somebody with some sort of old pot and a can. Will you bash on it? Fine. Okay, that's the band. There's my drummer organized. He managed to find some leftover food from some institution, a few leftovers. Okay, that's the catering organized. He managed to schnorr a few knives, a few forks. He's got everything. The only thing he can't get hold of him, try as he may, is spoons. He wants to serve something that he's going to call soup at the chasana, and he cannot, for the life of him, get hold of spoons. And he tries here, and he tries there, and he tries everywhere, and he's short of 100 spoons. Somebody tells him that there's a very wealthy individual making a wedding on the same night. So he runs to this big chasana hall, fancy banqueting suite, and he sees an unbelievable event in front of him. Sudas Shloimei HaMelech B'Shaitai, and he looks around at the tables and he sees every plate is surrounded by three knives, three forks, four spoons, four types of glasses, and he couldn't believe his luck. He runs up to the Baal Simcha and he says, listen, I'm making a chasana and perhaps you could spare me 100 spoons. It's the only thing I'm missing. The Baal Simcha says, I'd love to help you. I don't have any spare spoons whatsoever. I don't have any spare spoons. What should I tell you? If I had a single spare spoon, I'd be the first one to give it to you. And the person couldn't believe it. He's just done a whole tour of the hall. By every single place, and there's 500 places, there's four spoons. There's 2,000 spoons in this hall. He can't spare 100 spoons. He begs the Baal Simcha, he says, I'm sure you can manage, I'm sure you can spare 100 spoons. He says, I'm sorry, I literally don't have any spare spoons. And eventually he has enough. And he says, if you don't want to be a Baal Chesed, that's one thing, but you're going to lie to my face? You're going to lie to my face? I've just checked the tables up and down, there's a spare spoon at every single place. And the Baal Simcha tells him, I didn't lie to you. It's not spare. It's not spare. There's one spoon there which is for the hors d'oeuvres. and there's another spoon there which is for the soup, and there's another spoon there which is for the ice cream, and there's another spoon there which is for the cake at the end. There's nothing spare. I didn't lie to you. Everything is calculated and everything is necessary. I really do not have any spare spoons. Says the Dubna Magid, when a person does an Aveira Chas V'Sholem, that Aveira exists and has a reaction. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot overlook it. Nothing is spare. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Mavata would, in other words, being saying that your Aveira was of no consequence whatsoever. It doesn't matter. It's of no significance whatsoever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot say that. Nothing is spare. Everything we do has a reaction, just as we learned in school, Newton's third law of motion. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Nothing is of no significance. That doesn't exist. Every time a person does, whether it be a mitzvah or an aveira, that cannot be overlooked. A person does an aveira that has cataclysmic consequences. We have no hasoga, but it does. And ultimately it changes us for the bad. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot be mevata. To be mevata would mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu overlooks, will ignore it. It's as if it didn't happen. No. A person is chayza b'tshuva. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu beroiv chasta, he says, I'm prepared not to punish this person. I'm prepared to wipe the slate clean, but I'm not prepared to overlook it. Finally, we say in this bracha, Choynein hamarbe lesloyach, chanun hamarbe lesloyach. What does it mean, chanun? Chanun means out of great compassion. Tshuva and slicha essentially does not make sense. As we just said, nothing can be overlooked, nothing is spare. A person commits an aveira, he should have to suffer the consequences. But those are the opening words, and everybody knows those words. Rabbeinu Yoina, when he begins his Shaarei Tshuva, he writes that it's a tremendous chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he allows us to be chayzer b'tshuva. I remember somebody telling me, a great big Talmud Chacham, a cousin of mine, Rav Moshe Kalbach, should have a refuah shleima, he once said, there exists in the United States of America what's called a presidential pardon. When a prime minister, a president, is about to leave office, without any rhyme or reason whatsoever, he has that presidential right to just free anybody from prison, from punishment. They might have committed the worst atrocities in the world, but he lets them off the hook. Why? Because he's the president. So this Tom Tochum told me, he says, do you know why there exists this concept of a presidential pardon? Everything is for Klal Yisrael. It's in order to teach us the chidush of tshuva and mechila. Just as we all understand that it makes no sense whatsoever, a presidential pardon, and yet it's become part of and parcel of culture and society. So too we must understand that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is prepared to be mekabel our tshuva and deliver us slicha and mechila, that also makes no sense. The person has committed an aveira, it's not spare. There has to be a reaction. But nonetheless, chanun hamarbe lisloyach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu beroyit chastoi, has always given us this opportunity to come back. To come back home, to come close to Him once again. It may not make sense, indeed it does not make sense. We should indeed have to suffer the consequences for all of our actions. But Chanun Amar Ben Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created this concept of tshuva in which He's prepared to be Moichel V'Seileach. In order to make these brachas relevant, as we keep on saying, it's not enough just to translate the words and to think about the ideas that we've mentioned, but more important is to think, how does tshuva relate to me in my avodas Hashem? What is it at the moment that I need to be chayzer b'tshuva for? Is my davening the way it should be? What about my learning, my chesed, my midos, every aspect of Avodas Hashem? Those are really the ideas that we should be thinking about when we say these brachas, and if indeed we do, we should be zeicha to be chayzer b'tshuva shleima lefanecha.
Thank you.